We are joined on the line this morning by Scott Rabb, who is here to talk about your welcome, Cleveland, how I helped LeBron James win a championship and save our city. This is the follow-up to his book, The Whore of Akron, so let's get the details. I guess, is this your mea culpa, Scott, I guess, in a sense, to the Cavs, LeBron James?
I think that it's a combination, you know, celebrating the end of that 52-year drought, and yeah, a mea culpa. Might have gone a little too far in the Whore of Akron. Might have.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of emotion that we all felt at the time when he was taking his talents elsewhere. At that particular time and the way things have gone, is this a story that you could have even created on your own, the way this has played out?
No, this is, I couldn't have dreamed such a thing. I mean, I had a good career going as a magazine writer before LeBron James ever came out of St. Vincent, St. Mary. But, you know, growing up as a kid, graduated Mayfield High, graduated CSU, you know, left to go to grad school and all that. Just the idea that somehow my bitter rage, my passion, whatever, that only mounted over the years, like everyone else's. I mean, please, I don't speak for anyone but myself. But you know how it feels, how it felt. And to have all that stuff convert still seems like a miracle to me. Yeah.
Let's talk about this book. It sort of picks up right at the point where Game 7 takes place. Take us a little bit through some of the pages of your Welcome, Cleveland.
And well, when you're writing a book like this, you know, it's ostensibly it's a sports book, but there are no spoiler alerts. No one's going to pick up the book and go, "Hey, I wonder how it went. Last I remember, the Cavs were down 3-1. I wonder how that thing turned out." But you still got to start with the block. You know, the greatest night of my life, one of the greatest moments in sports history, whether you're a Cleveland fan or not. Really, you know, became a kind of a road trip book because me and my kid, I live in New Jersey, you know, and I drive back and forth anytime, so I got family in Cleveland. I'm still involved with CSU, other places in the community. But to see those games, be able to, you know, my kid's born in New Jersey, to be able to be with him on Father's Day. We were downtown Cleveland at the Wild Eagle Saloon for Game 7. And just to see a Cleveland team, you know, end that drought, I think we all felt the same depth of passion and emotion in our own way. But I think, the book itself is like the first one. I mean, you get obsessed with these teams. You get obsessed with certain players. You really got to look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and go, why is it, you know, how to explain this? It's not just some abstract thing in people's lives. It's been at the center of my life, a center of a lot of our lives since we were young, since before we can remember. Having LeBron come back and lead us all to the promised land, really at the heart of the book, and how it felt for me as a dad, too.
Scott, some of us are old enough to remember the Browns championship in 1964. What was it like for you to share the new experience with your son?
Well, it was unlike anything I could anticipate. I think if you ask any Cleveland fan, you know, was it as good as you thought it would be, you know, the feeling of winning a championship, I think every one of us would say it's even better. So, I mean, I was 12. You know, when the Browns beat the Colts in 1964, I was there with my Uncle Laurie. You know, I Cleveland back then, I mean, the Cleveland I grew up in was a thriving, you know, powerful metropolis. Nobody was making jokes about anything, certainly not the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, with my son becoming a diehard in his own right, I mean, a lot of the stuff he saw, a lot of the T-shirts he wore, a lot of the bobbleheads we drove 1,000 miles to get, you know, all those guys went and played somewhere else, whether it was Victor Martinez, you know, whoever it was. So, you know, he'd gone through whatever little drought he'd gone through, going to high school in a Trent Richardson jersey, you know, lose or lose on Sunday. So for him, I'm sure it was a huge thrill. For me, you know, the idea that I didn't grow up with a father. I think I tried to jam a lot of that into the book, whether it's a sports thing or not. To me, it felt like, and I think for a lot of us, it feels like, you know, the teams mean a lot, the city means a lot, but it also connects us to each other in a way that it's love, really. That's the story.
We're talking today with Scott Rabb. You're welcome, Cleveland, How I Helped LeBron James Win a Championship and Save a City. There's a lot of religious text, at least related to the titles. Revelation, Prodigal, Gethsemane, Yom Kippur. Yeah. Is this the King James version? I'm just trying to.
Well, you certainly picked up on something. You know, I think I can explain it best by saying I really didn't come out of that journalism background. You know, I came up as kind of, I don't know, the raging poet type. You know, that when I was going to CSU, that's when Frank Spisak, the cross-dressing, you know, neo-Nazi, was literally killing people on campus. It was for me, it was always a very juicy town, and I'm a Jewish guy from the East Side. But you know, the LeBron story, especially if you come out of that English major, literature worshiping background, you know, LeBron story combined several strands of Old and New Testament. So yeah, maybe I went a little too far on the poetics, but it felt real to me. You know, that those kinds of connections always with sports, like myth. You know, the gods on Mount Olympus, we might laugh at this distance, but you see LeBron bowing to Jim Brown, that's a magical moment for all of us.
Right. Well, religious, you know, you go to a Sunday sermon somewhere, and there's usually some analogy related to some sports as well. This, of course, book is written about the Cavs and the way it thinks the championship. How did you think the rest of the season would go for, like, the Indians and the way things are now? Is this, you, of course, were involved with Believe Land, so...
Yeah,
there's a whole. I don't know whether that movie itself helped break the curse in a sense, but things have seemed to really be changing here for this landscape on at least two out of the three teams.
And may it continue. I mean, it's pretty to think that anything, you know, the whole idea that I helped LeBron in any way, or that Cleveland as a city needed any saving, let alone me. You know, it's wildly overstated. But what isn't overstated is I think the spiritual lift. That a championship, and even with the Tribe losing in Game 7, and thank goodness the Cavs won, because had they not, that Game 7 loss to the Cubs in extra innings at home would have been, I think, beyond any other devastation we've collectively known. But yeah, it's certainly fair to say that the Cavs and the Indians have really, you know, lit up the town in a way reflected, you know, both on East 4th Street and I think in the soul and the spirit of Cleveland fans everywhere.
Of course, if they did lose, it would be like a 1 and a 1A between the Cavs and the Indians losing out.
Two game 7 losses, yeah. In kind of the span of 3 or 4 months. My goodness, that would have, you know, that I-480 bridge everyone always jokes about jumping off, you would have needed a ticket like a bakery on Sunday morning.
Right. Well, we can sort of relate it. You know, the Cubs winning finally, there was a little bit of... solace in that, I suppose, that we could have.
Well, better than losing to Wayne Huizenga's Marlins, you know.
Right. Have you still gotten still looking for a media pass? Is that your
well?
Goal? Is it, your
you know, my relation. I always want it both ways. You know, I want to be the fan, the obsessed, fanatical. I'll do anything. I don't care if Hitler's playing point guard, as long as we win it all. You know, I want to combine that with, oh, and by the way, would you grant me a credential? Because, you know, I've been a member of the media for 30, 40 years now. And I certainly didn't blame the Cavs for saying, you know what, no soup for you this time around. Made sense.
Yeah. Well, if you pay, then you can scream louder, I guess, is the way it goes.
That's it. It's exactly right. Well put.
Well, we appreciate your time, Scott. Scott Rabb, the book
Thanks
is
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Cleveland, and How I Helped LeBron James Win a Championship and Save a City. Appreciate your time and look forward to more of your reads. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Happy anniversary, by the way. I just thought I would pass that on to you. Thanks.